Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we just sang, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story," and I've been reflecting on stories all week. I mean, this book is seriously a collection of stories, right? And I've been pondering that, and I've been thinking about the power of stories. I think they're really quite remarkable. Mythology and stories and those sorts of things are an important part of our DNA. The stories, I think, have the creative power to shape our lives and to direct the way that we experience the world. Think about the ones that you've really valued. Think about what they do. You know, some of them, they transport us to adventure. Think about the Odyssey and the Iliad and the Lord of the Rings, etc., etc. They open us to question who we really are. Think about Hamlet. Think about the Lord of the Rings. They show us our foibles and our prejudice. Think about Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, wonderful book. And then think about the Lord of the Rings. They expose the ways of this world. And think about the Great Gatsby, for instance, right? The ways of this world. And then think about the Lord of the Rings. And they reveal the evil that seeks to ensnare us. Think about the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe. And, of course, the Lord of the Rings. Okay, you really only need two books. Start with this one, then go to the Lord of the Rings. I've been thinking about that this week and how greatly stories have influenced and shaped my life. Some of them I have read over and over again. Lord of the Rings would be a good example. Then there's this tale as old as time. That comes from the Beauty and the Beast, of course. You've heard that before. The Bible. The seminal stories, the ones that we really need. As Paul says in this tale as old as time, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So in this oldest of stories, this tale as old as time, we find that Jesus is right there from the beginning. And that should give us comfort, should give us direction, should give us a whole new regard for Jesus, who was not some afterthought of God's in terms of the New Testament and salvation, what have you. Jesus was there at the creation. It is an old, old story. This is a tale whose meaning, though, can never, ever be exhausted. Every time we open this book, every time we go to these stories, if we open our hearts at the same time, we experience something new. We read it in a new way. We hear something different. We are led in a new direction in the power of the Holy Spirit. We hunger for this story. Tell me the old, old story, we sing in a hymn. In a hymn that is itself an old, old story, written in 1866. And it's taken its own place in that ongoing story, as we sing it, even today. Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. She gets it just right. She gets it just right. We need to hear this story over and over and over because we need to enter into it ourselves. It is worth nothing if it lays on the table, on the pages of this book. But it's worth everything if it enters into our hearts and into our souls, and if it shapes our lives, if we claim our place in the story, and if we take our part in it, which Jesus calls us to do. There's a recent poem. I'm going to slaughter this guy's name. Sorry about that. This is a brand new book called In the Shelter, and it's written by an Irishman whose name is Padraig O'Tuama, or something to that effect. He's a Celt, and he celebrates Celtic spirituality, which I do as well. And I read some reviews and said, boy, I have to get that book. And I was dead right. It's utterly fabulous. But he writes poems, and they're contained in this book, In the Shelter, Finding a Way in the World. And here's one of them. And I said to him, are there answers to all of this? And he said, the answer is in a story, and the story is being told. And I said, but there's so much pain. And she answered plainly, pain will happen. Then I said, will I ever find meaning? And they said, you will find meaning when you give meaning. The answer is in a story, and the story isn't finished. The answer is in a story, and the story isn't finished. As we enter Jerusalem this morning with Jesus, we recall that the old, old story foretold the events that are happening right before our eyes. Long ago, Isaiah described the suffering servant who would be rejected. Long ago, the psalmist spoke of welcoming the one who comes in the name of the Lord, waving palm branches. Long ago, Zechariah described the king who comes humble and riding on a colt. And long ago, Moses foretold of death by hanging on a tree. It is an old, old story. These events now happening in Jerusalem point back to God's ancient promises now being realized right before us. But there's more at work here than simply the fulfillment of old prophecies, as important as that is. Jerusalem, you see, was holy to Israel as the touch point between heaven and earth. Mount Zion, the highest point in Jerusalem, was the place in their cosmology where heaven just touched earth and where God resided when he chose to come here. It's a singular and sacred place where those two come together, heaven meets earth. So it is that just there, in the creative power of a present God, the old, old story is about to become a new reality. As the song goes, tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in, the wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Now, Jesus has been traveling about Israel and Philistia, preaching the kingdom, teaching its ways, and prophesying its imminence. Today, as he's greeted by the palm-waving throng, all the prophecies become actualities in his bearing, in his being, in his touch, in the words he speaks. Today, the storyteller becomes the story. Having said, so the last will be first and the first will be last, he enters Jerusalem humbly on the back of a donkey. Having said, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, he goes knowingly to his humiliation and his execution. And having asked, have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it's amazing in our eyes. He takes his place as the foundation of the new world order. On this day, my friends, all the promises of God come true in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. In him, Paul will soon say, every one of God's promises is a yes. On this day, Jesus leaves behind his roles as rabbi and prophet and assumes the mantle of Messiah. On this day, Jesus not only proclaims God's word to Israel, he becomes God's word to Israel. For in him, Paul will soon say, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Something new is indeed at work this morning in the old, old story. And it's a kind of a good news, bad news sort of thing if you think about it. Salvation is now ours in the person of Jesus Christ. And that comes as good news indeed. However, we know, as does Jesus, that the parade at the gate of Jerusalem this morning leads directly up that hill to Golgotha. So that the example he sets this morning forces us to think about, exactly what sort of salvation we're receiving from him. What's our role in this? And perhaps we can be forgiven for seeing this as being the bad news side of the equation. The Christian life, you see, the Christian life starts with Jesus and it ends in Jesus. Simple as that. This means that we're first called to follow him. Then we're called to join him in his world-saving mission. Finally, we're called to live as he did, to suffer as he did, and to sacrifice as he did for the sake of the creation of his kingdom here on earth. That's the role we play. We join him in this mission. We join him in this ministry to the world. We're all called to attain to what Paul will eventually call the measure of the full stature of Christ. And you see, this means that we too are called to incarnate the promises of God. It means that our lives must be sacramental, providing the world around us a glimpse into the greater truth of the Spirit of God, which animates our being no matter the cost. And it means that, like Jesus, we're to become the storytellers. And that, like his, our lives are to become the story for all to see, for all to hear. And if our true lives start and end in Christ, then our true response starts and ends in thanksgiving. And for this, we turn to Psalm 118, a festal psalm for both Jews and Christians. For them, they read it during the Passover, and it recalls their deliverance from Egypt. For us, we read it on Palm Sunday, and it recalls our deliverance in the cross of Jesus Christ. We share this psalm because we share deliverance, and we share a God. This morning, we join the throngs of worshipers throughout the ages as we bind up the festal procession with branches. And as we enter the sanctuary, waving emblems of our praise, Hosanna, blessed is he. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Psalm 118 begins and ends with a fundamental affirmation of faith that we need to both speak and hear this morning. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. As we share this declaration, my friends, we enter into the old, old story, spreading the news and lifting one another to renewed faith on the wings of this great truth. This affirmation brackets all that comes in between in the psalm and in our lives. Distress, under threat, outnumbered, pushed to the limit. In every circumstance, we are buttressed on all sides by God. That's what the psalmist is telling us. That's why he begins with this verse and he ends with this verse. God, who is good and whose steadfast love endures forever. And our confidence rests on what God has already done. Psalmist says, I think that you have answered me and have become my salvation. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Yet life goes on all around us, and present peril still lurks, even amidst the celebration. The psalmist says, cries actually, save us, we beseech thee, O God. And we cry with him. Then the poet said, will I ever find meaning? And they said, you will find meaning when you give meaning. The answer is in a story. And the story isn't finished. No, the story isn't finished as Jesus enters Jerusalem this morning, and it's not finished yet here and now. It continues. But as he makes his triumphal entry, he begins to write a new chapter that will find resolution with a folded grave cloth and an empty tomb. And in the end, in the end, story and storyteller are become one. And the psalmist reaffirms the old story once again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. As old as that story may be, it remains ever the same. Nothing, it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us take a moment now and listen in silence to what the Spirit may be saying to each of us. Come, Lord Jesus. Come and show us the way. Come and take our hands that we may follow you wherever you lead. Amen.